Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann and I am joined today by Kieran Mozaria, Chief Executive of Cadence Minerals PLC, to talk through some milestone news that the group has announced this week. How are you doing, Kieran?
Good morning, John. Yes, I'm well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Excellent. So, yes, amazing news announced at the start of the year. You've obviously had a very busy Christmas putting together the details of the pre-feasibility study for the Amapa project, the Amapa iron ore project in Brazil. First of all, perhaps could you give us a bit of background about Amapa? What exactly is the context of this project?
Yeah, as you rightly pointed out, it is an amazing set of news results. And the Amapa project is an excellent asset that goes along with it. To give you a bit of history, so you understand the listeners who don't know much about this, look, Cadence got involved with the Amapa project a few years ago. In essence, the Amapa project is an integrated iron ore, railway, and port extraction process, which is pretty unique, owning the whole upstream and downstream part of the iron ore mining process. And it was effectively owned by Anglo American, and they valued it at about 100%, about $660 million. It went through a port, it was then sold on, and it went through a port failure. That port failure basically meant that the mine was unable to export the material. And if it was unable to export the materials and unable to generate revenue, and then it went in through a Brazilian JRP or judicial review process. And Cadence has worked along with its JV partners to take it out of this JRP because it identified the asset as it had a substantial resource, a good mine life in its assessment at that time. And also it was already built, so the cost of rehabilitating it would have been far less, and the timeline to rehabilitate it would be far less, and the technical risk would be minimal. So when we put all of those things together, plus the price that Cadence was able to negotiate to get in, given that it was in receivership, Cadence was able to negotiate its first 27% of the asset at $6 million, and then it increased its percentage to 30% for a total of $9.3 million. So it is both the entry point, how cheaply we're able to buy this asset at the time and then add value by embarking on PFSs, by embarking on engagement studies and engineering studies to then deliver this PFS, which certainly shows an incredible upside for us as Cadence and on the basis of the NPV that was produced.
Okay, so let's talk through the PFS. What exactly have you found with this study?
Well, as you will know, a PFS is the preliminary feasibility study. This study is to show both the engineering requirements and the environmental requirements and the social requirements to restart this operation and the economic outcomes. So first of all, the most important thing was to determine, you know, out of the resource, which we did a brand new resource last year and put that in, was how much of that was extractable as mineral reserves. And we've got a mineral reserve statement, which confirms, exactly what we thought we were going to do. We get 195 million tons of material at 39.34% iron. That allows us to basically extract over an initial 16 years, 5.3 million tons of iron ore, but divided between the large majority of a 65% product and the rest is a 62%. So that product gets mined, and a larger part gets mined, and then effectively we process it and we produce these two concentrates, which on average in our model, we've said that over the life of mine, we've kept a fixed price. We'll sell about $114 a ton. And then the cost associated with that to take that to the port is about $35 a ton. And then to take that all the way to China we've assumed that that will be the market because this product has been sold in the market. It's well known, will be about $64 a ton. So you can see there's a substantial margin between the 64 and 114, which then delivers this life of mine EBITDA on an average basis of $235 million a year, which gives us this net present value of $949 million over the 16 years at a discount rate of 10%. So the economics in terms of the cost structure are good, and that gives us that NPV. And importantly, really importantly, I think, is the CapEx. Now, one of the things that was mentioned earlier on in our conversation, that the CapEx we anticipated to be substantially lower than to build a new mine. If we look at just the mine only, in other jurisdictions or even Brazilian jurisdictions, just the mines, so the processing plant of a similar type, you know, that would be in the order of $600 million just to build that. And in our case, the mine and the beneficiation plant, the capex associated with it is substantially lower when we're talking about $160 million to do that. Then we also have to invest in the rail, which is a $28 million. And then the capex on the port is $113, and this is direct capex. We will then end up, you know, after you take in the contingencies, we end up with about a $400 million capex. So the $400 million is for the whole operation, when a mine alone for this size operation will cost you about $600 million, and it's costing us around, including indirect costs, around the $200 million. So that is really important. So therefore, that adds to the NPV as a whole and improves the NPV rather than having to spend, let's say, and this is a shot in the dark, you know, having to spend about $1 billion to rehabilitate, to build a new mine, a new port, and a new railway in that environment. So overall, it's really significant for us. We believe that this is a you know, based on these economics, it's a really solid asset, which now deserves to proceed. And there is other opportunities we can talk about here. Nurse deserves to produce and proceed to the next stage, which is investigating some additional other opportunities, and then the definitive feasibility study, and then financing and construction.
Yeah, let's talk about financing, because I mean, there's obviously some huge advantages to there being a lot of existing infrastructure in place and it being a mine that you're rehabilitating, but it's still a sizable amount of money. How would you typically fund a project of this size?
So a typical project like this is, after you've completed the DFS, that definitive feasibility study delivers a project, an engineering study that allows banking to finance. That's what you're doing it for. It's not for equity finance, really, although it helps the equity financing. So typically what would happen is that you would have between 70 and 80% of that capital, the $400 million, being funded via debt to be paid back over 4 to 5 years. And that's why it's important to have a reserve. Well, we have a reserve for the whole 16, but often it's important to have a proven reserve for 5 years. So that's why that's why you advance to the next stage. If you were to fund it solely with equity, you could probably use the PFS, but that's not good for the shareholders. So we go to DFS, and DFS then allows us to raise capital, or raise a JV of the project to raise debt, and the rest would be equity. And as we've indicated in there, you know, part of the next stage is to be looking, you know, ongoing discussions that any company like ours would be doing with potential strategic investors, offtake partners, to effectively fund a portion of that equity going forward.
Okay, so let's talk next steps. You mentioned the definitive feasibility study there. What are the next steps that shareholders, investors can expect to see as you move towards that?
Well, I think before the definitive study, I think there's two things that we will be doing. And the first thing is reviewing that substantial resource, historic resource that exists on the Tucano mine. So the Tucano mine is a gold mine, but it's effectively on the same geological trend. And that geological trend has this atibarites right to the north of us. And historically in 2011, Anglo did a resource, which off the top of my head was around 135 million tons of iron ore at around 36%. Now, of course, that area has been mined since then, so we'd see some depletion. But even, you know, bearing in mind that our 16 years of mine life was from 195 million tons of reserves, even if we were to maybe achieve a five-year mine life from an additional 5 years, that would add on back of the fag packet calculation, would add another 50 million to the NPV. No, sorry, another 100 million to the NPV. And then, you know, that's worth pursuing. So that's one thing that we all do. And that requires getting the data and the model from Tucano, reviewing that model, reviewing if we need to carry out some drilling, and then carrying out some drilling to improve the resource reserve. And then with the idea, ideally, of targeting a further 5 years, possibly another 10 years of mine life. So that improves the NPV. And also for any strategic investors, they and debt providers, they can really see long term in terms of that asset. In addition, you know, as one people will notice that the port expense is about $113 million direct cost. We see some savings there. And if we can achieve those savings, maybe we can add another 200 million to this NPV. I mean, these are rough figures at the moment. And of course, you know, a PFS level type study on these two aspects, or a new mineral reserve on one of them and a PSF type study on the other, will need to be done. Be glad to know we've already carried out a trade-off study on one of those. So that's, you know, we're progressing that well. So the shareholders can would see those two first. Then you'd embark on a PFS. PFSs typically are not, you know, take up to 12 months. We hope to be able to do that quicker because a lot of the studies we've done are almost at DFS level. And then you would be looking to a financing and a construction of these assets, or rehabilitation of these assets, can anyway take between about 1.5 years to two. Definitive timelines will come out of the DFS ultimately. So, you know, we've got a very clear idea of where we're going to be going in terms of timeline. We've got an understanding of what we're going to do with financing, i.e., as we've talked about, a typical financing, about 80% would be debt. And we're already talking to people and to advance that that process, both as joint venture partners, both and or strategic investors. And we've got the upside of further resources, further capital savings on this asset. So overall, we see this as a, you know, this is a really pivotal moment. We now move on to next year about what we've just talked about and advancing it. The DFS really will probably, you know, just is about more accuracy, and it's more a tool to get funding ultimately to we'll put this into construction.
Mm. I mean, it sounds like there's plenty of exciting news for to come. One thing that struck me was that, you know, as you get this mine back into production, you know, it has the potential to be enormously profitable, as it was before it ceased operations in 2014. Can you just talk a little bit about the sort of the operational economics of it, because they do sound very attractive.
Yeah, well, in essence, as you pointed out, it was profitable beforehand, you know, when it was owned by Anglo American. And that was in prices, in substantial iron ore prices. It would have still been profitable if it were able to carry on shipping the 5.3, or it was actually 5.6 million tons worth of material. And just unfortunately, the port collapsed. So if we look at our cost structure, and I think this is the most, you know, when we look at our cost structure as a whole, the most important thing that we have as an advantage over others is because we own, you know, the mine cost of $17 a ton. Well, let's call it as a $17.1 million, as $1 million, $17.1 million a ton, including the tailing storage facility. Then you've got the beneficiation part of $12 a ton. So not $17 million a ton, $17 a ton, and $12 a ton for the beneficiation plant and road and transport. But the real advantage is because you've mined it, beneficiation part, that's what I've talked about, the cost per ton. You've got the rail and freight. Typically, if you don't own your rail and freight, those figures will be 5 to 10 times that sort of level. Certainly I've seen in Australia 10 times, you know, $15 to $19 a ton for the rail freight, and port to be another $10 a ton. But because we own our port and railway, we're able to keep the combined cost of these to basically $4 a ton, which is really, really important and the critical part of this asset. It also represents, for any strategic investor going forward, the fact that we own this or have concessions over the railway and the port. It means that you can also, and through upgrades, if we want to at a later stage, we can also service other mineral deposits along that spine that is in Amapa. And there are plenty of other iron ore deposits, manganese, but particularly iron ore deposits along that railway, which we'd be able to generate additional revenue. Or if someone was thinking much larger, strategic investor would consider sort of aggregating it and gaining access to a much larger iron ore resource in addition to ours. But that's really not part of this PSO. That's more sort of strategic thinking. And that's why also we really like this asset. It's, you know, it's not just the not, it's not just it's technically de-risked, or it was technically de-risked, and it's further technically de-risked. It was cheap capex, cheap operating costs, and also it had a substantial resource, and everything was rebuilt, and the licenses were substantially reduced in terms of achieving those. It's the fact that it was a whole story of being able to integrate this and maybe having access and having further revenue streams in the long term. From other deposits, other industries using our railway and our port.
No, that really does sound like a fantastic project, fantastic opportunity for Cadence. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Kieran.
Thank you. A pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.